Hey friends, Max here. So this week we had a little bit of an accident, and for the first time since we started making this podcast, we lost the audio. So what I'm going to do for you instead, a couple months ago we had to take some stuff down off of the website so we can make room for other stuff, and one of those episodes that we took down was Season 1, Episode 1, The Astrophysicist and the Revolutionary, where we talk about Cecilia Payne and Deborah Sampson. Plus, you get to listen to Allison and myself in our little baby just doing a new podcast voices. We didn't quite have our rhythms down. It's a lot of fun. So cute. Lots of ums and ahs. You'll hear them. So this week is going to be a repeat week. Season 1, Episode 1. After that, we'll have a new episode next week and 5 more new episodes to round out Season 2. We're going to end Season 2 right at the end of August. While I've got you, and we're talking about the end of Season 2, let me tell you about what we've been up to. We have stickers for sale. Fulan Devi is the current one up, the Bandit Queen of India. And then soon, in honor of Miriam Mirzakhani, we're going to be making a new sticker with proceeds going towards a charity. At the end of September, we're planning a live episode. We're teaming up with a really exciting production, and we can't wait to give you more information. Make sure you're tuned to the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook. And by the way, we've changed our handle. So if you haven't noticed, on Instagram and Twitter, we are now at The Bitchery of History. And the website soon is going to be changing to thebitcheryofhistory.com or bitcheryofhistory.com, or, you know, it'll be something. We got to check domains and all that fun stuff, but it's going to be changing soon. On top of that, we got some really exciting things happening for Season 3. We got a whole team. I've been telling everybody, look, Season 1 was proof of concept. Season 2 was for growth. And Season 3, well, you ain't seen nothing yet, kids. Thanks so much for listening. Please subscribe wherever you're listening to. Leave us a rating or a comment and enjoy this show. Hello, and welcome to The Bitchery of History.
Welcome.
My name is Max Kirkham.
I'm Allison Powell.
And this is your podcast all about those awesome women who history has decided to forget. Or
not maybe tell you about.
Exactly.
We're going to tell you about them.
Exactly. So first, we'd like to talk about the word bitch. And
yes,
how we are joining the movement to reappropriate it. So, reappropriation is that idea of taking a word that once was something harmful and making it into a word of power, making it into something great. It's kind of what the queer community is doing with the word queer. We're working on doing it for the word bitch.
Because bitches are fabulous.
Exactly. So, what we're going to do, and what kind of every podcast is going to do, is we're going to bring to you two women from history. We're going to tell you what they did, how they changed the world.
Why they're awesome. Why they're badass bitches of history.
Exactly.
And you should know about them. So, we're going to share their stories.
Exactly. So, today, I'm going to be talking about Cecilia Payne. So, Cecilia Payne was a scientist in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. She was at Cambridge for a while, but in England at the time, it was forbidden for women to get higher degrees, right? So, she was working at Cambridge, and she's doing this great work, but she could never ascend to a doctoral degree or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, she emigrates to the United States. And she gets accepted to Harvard as a fellow. And she joins this group of women who had already been at Harvard. They called them computers because they were working for this one scientist cataloging stars. Mm-hmm. And this is where Annie Jump Cannon, who I'm going to talk about in another podcast, she had spent years and years classifying hundreds of thousands of stars by their spectrum. And it was one of these things where they were classifying these stars, but no one really knew what it meant, but they had the classification system.
Okay.
It's like they had the answer, but they didn't have the question.
Okay.
And so Cecilia Payne comes in, and it had already been known that the spectrum of light given off by a chemical when it's heated will be missing certain lines from its spectrum, and
right,
you can tell what something is made up of by what lines are missing, right?
Right.
So as they classified stars, they classified them by their spectrum, and they said, well, if this spectrum is missing these lines, then
that must mean that that star is made up of these elements, right? Mm-hmm. And that star is made up of these elements. And they thought that that's what the classification system that Annie Jump Cannon put together was about. Mm-hmm. But it turns out Cecilia Payne goes, well, but what about the ionization of atoms? And she goes in and does a bunch of experiments. She classifies, or she goes and observes about a million stars.
Oh my God.
Right? I mean, an unbelievably huge amount of data that her and these other women are going through. Uh-huh. Especially in the early 1920s.
Dang.
Way before Google.
Dang.
Right? And so she goes, she comes and writes this thesis. After about 3 years, she writes a thesis for her doctoral degree, which asserts that it's not that the stars are made up of these elements. This classification system is talking about how hot the stars are. It had also been known that at certain temperatures, atoms will ionize, which means that they'll lose an electron, right? And so the hotter the star, or the whatever temperature it was, it would ionize in a different way, and it would show the same spectra as if it was made by...
Okay.
Like carbon or helium or something like that, right? So everyone had seen the solution and come up with, I mean, rightly so, because that's what the accepted belief was, right? And she went, no, that's not right. It's actually how hot things are. So she writes this amazing dissertation, a dissertation that would later be called in like the 1960s, when she's still alive at this point.
Right.
And this dissertation is known as one of the most influential and amazing dissertations in the history of astronomy. In the history of stellar astronomy, this one is known as
the big one.
Right. But when she first puts it forward to her academic advisor, he convinces her that that can't be true. Because it's not the accepted scientific belief, right? A man, right, is telling her this. It can't be true. He gets her to add a line at the end of her thesis that says, the abundances of hydrogen and helium, which is what she realized these stars are made out of, quote, almost certainly not real.
Oh my God.
And so her dissertation is published with those words in it.
Oh my God.
That this is almost certainly not real. It took 3 years for her advisor to finally come forward and say, you know what, you're right. Took it 3 years.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Right? And to his credit, he did, when he wrote this big paper about it, was like, she's right. And he did name her.
Good.
And her work.
Good.
But 3 years.
Oh man.
So she becomes the first doctoral degree from the Harvard College Observatory, right?
Nice.
And she goes on to have this prolific career and wins awards and all this kinds of stuff. All the while she'd been denied a higher degree in Cambridge. And it's because of her and her accomplishments that Harvard re-examined.
Right.
There we
go.
Re-examined their policies on women at their school.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
That's super cool.
So, Cecilia Payne, the reason we know stars are made up of helium and hydrogen, the reason we know that hydrogen is the most abundant source, the most abundant element in the universe, right? Which plays into every monumental discovery since then comes from that, right? Because stars were no longer made up of... Because she challenged the idea that stars were made up of all these different elements and said, nope, they're all helium. Scientists had to go back and say, okay, now where is carbon coming from? Where is all these things coming from, right? And so that leads to theories about supernovas and how that's where we are star stuff as the cosmos... Not Neil deGrasse Tyson. Okay, I'll put a link to his name in the bio because I really can't remember what his name is right now.
Okay.
But Cecilia Payne, she changed the face of astrophysics.
What I love about this is how cool it is, but I also hate the fact that I consider myself to be a pretty smart person and actually have read books on astrophysics and quantum physics and stuff, and I've never heard of her.
Never
until today.
I hadn't either.
Which, it's just astounding and crazy.
Sad. Honestly.
Yeah, it's very sad. But that's the whole reason we're doing this podcast.
Exactly.
So bringing it back around.
Carl Sagan. That's his name.
Oh, there we go. Carl Sagan's great. He's great.
One of my personal heroes, too. I'm not sure how I forgot his name. Okay. So.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing that one and finding that one. That one's super cool. I'm going to talk today about Deborah Sampson, who has been my hero for a long, long time, really since I was little, and a lot of people don't know her story, and I just love it and want to make it a movie, and I just think it's worthy of everyone knowing about it. Because I'm a huge history buff, and I love the Revolutionary War, and Deborah Sampson actually fought in the American Revolution. She disguised herself as a man and fought, which is great. So growing up, her family was really, really poor. So her mom actually basically like hired the kids out to live with relatives. And then she became an indentured servant. She then left and went to go and teach school. So she was already very smart. And then she decided slowly that she was going to join the army and dress as a man. So she did. And she was not really ever discovered. She traveled all over with the army, fighting in different battles. And even after Cornwallis surrendered to George Washington, the war was not really officially over. Like, the French were staying in the South. And so there were a lot of other issues, other little battles that had to be going on. So in June of 1782, Deborah and two sergeants, they led 30 other infantrymen on an expedition. And as they were going through, they were heading north, and they became engaged with a band of Tories. And so during that encounter, Deborah got a gash on her forehead from a sword, but she also was shot very high up on her thigh,
which
of course is very bad, not only for blood loss and other things, but she knew if she presented that wound to a doctor, she was going to have to undress and obviously reveal her true identity and her true sex, and that was not going to be good. So she lies to the doctor and says, oh, yeah, I'm injured, but I just have this gash on my forehead. Like, that's it. She totally pretends she does not have a bullet in her leg. And like a super badass.
Exactly.
And just gets her her forehead bandaged up. And then she takes the bullet out herself. And then she received permission to nurse a sick soldier in a home, which was great because then she was able to take more time off to heal her leg, which she couldn't reveal to anyone was injured. So she ends up nursing this soldier in a home of a Tory who are, you know, the people still fighting for England. So she's basically living in the home of an enemy as a soldier of the American Revolution, but also as a girl dressed as a man. So like so many levels of spying and deception. And so eventually she leaves, but she becomes determined to avenge the hospitality, with air quotes, of this Tory that she was staying with. So with the help of this Tory's daughter, more badass women get involved. She raids the house that she'd been staying in and takes it over, capturing 15 men.
Avenge the hospitality.
Avenge the hospitality. Hospitality shown to her. She keeps serving in the army. She served for over 2 years, and she had close calls, obviously, with both discovery and death. She fainted on their first march to West Point. She lied that she had smallpox so that no one would give her a vaccine. She nearly drowned in a river. She had been attacked by robbers, all these crazy things. But she knew that if she fell unconscious, that was her greatest weakness, because she could not rely on her quick wit. Obviously, she's very smart and very quick-witted to be able to, you know, outfox all these guys and telling them, like, no, I'm just a young boy. That's why I don't have to shave. She did eventually, though, contract, I think it's yellow fever, and fell unconscious, goes to the hospital. They carry her there, and the doctor, of course, uncovers her secret.
Lord.
But he didn't really say anything right away. He eventually made the discovery known in a letter to the general that Deborah had been serving. But because of her bravery in right. battle and her valor, she receives an honorable discharge nice. From the army. That's honorable fantastic. Discharge, which is fantastic. And then she eventually goes back home. She gets married. She leaves a pretty normal life. She was the first woman in the country to go on a lecture tour. She went on tour almost for a full year, beginning in June of 1802, giving lectures, traveling the whole country.
That's amazing.
And then after she died, her husband petitioned the army for pay for being the spouse of a soldier. Her husband did this. And although he was not married to Deborah at the time of her service, the committee that looked into this concluded that the history of the Revolution, quote, furnished no other similar example of female heroism, fidelity, and courage, end quote.
That's amazing.
And he was awarded the money.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
They kind, of just went, well,
she's a badass. We've got to give you some money because she definitely served her country.
Absolutely.
To a T.
Absolutely.
All the way. So
dang.
She's my fave. She's my favorite lady. And I mean, wouldn't that be an amazing film?
Absolutely.
I mean, oh my God.
Like
the levels, the all the layers,
like
all
Mulan,
the nonsense.
But with more sexism.
Yes.
And guns.
And guns. And the revolution.
Because it's America, you know.
Yeah, that's Deborah Sampson. I found out about her in a coloring book, actually, that was about female heroes of the Revolutionary War or heroines of the Revolutionary War. And I remember flipping through it, and there are some fantastic women in history mm-hmm. who did things during the Revolutionary War. But I was like, all the women are doing are sewing secret notes into their dresses
mm-hmm.
and making tea from pine needles. And then when I turned the page and was like, no, this woman fought in battle and totally kicked butt.
Not to downplay the women.
Not at all.
Sewing things into
absolutely.
But like, Deborah was taking bullets. Do you know, did you find out in any of your research, did you find out how she took the bullet out of her leg?
It's not on this, the main pages that I've been looking on, because what I remember it from this coloring book,
uh-huh.
which I wish
it was in the coloring book that she took a bullet out of her leg.
Yeah, I think she took it out like with a penknife. I mean, that's not obviously the picture you're coloring. She's on a horse or something.
How old is this book for?
You know, it's one of those like Dover school coloring books. You probably
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, you weren't homeschooled like me, so you didn't know that there were coloring books that you could do for school.
Public school doesn't give us coloring books.
Yeah, I think it was in there that she took it out. But she then did, of course,
mm-hmm.
you know, get basically a leave of absence to go and nurse a soldier in a home so then she could also nurse
right.
herself.
That's
and
awesome.
Then take revenge on the house with the daughter? Hell yeah!
Right, exactly. That's something, that's like, thanks for letting me stay.
Tory bastard.
Right, exactly.
Cool.
Right. That's amazing. So Cecilia Payne and Deborah Sampson.
Deborah Sampson.
Two badass bitches from history.
Absolutely.
Part of the bitchery of history, if you will.
Yes, I totally will. So another part of our podcast that we're going to talk about as we go through, because we're not going to share just stories of awesome women that we think people should know about. We're also going to talk about today in herstory.
Exactly.
There's a lot of things that you see online, in the newspaper, if you still
mm-hmm.
read a newspaper, that talk about today in history. And we really want to make sure that we're highlighting that. But of course, highlighting what happened today in herstory, in women's history. What were some
absolutely.
Important events that happened today? So you found one of those for
I
us.
Did. So today, in history, the first woman ever to be elected to the United States Senate was elected.
Fabulous.
Obviously, January 12th, 1932.
Wow, all right.
32. That's amazing for the year.
Yeah, that seems
right?
actually really pretty good.
So around the time that Cecilia Payne was working. A little tie-in.
These girls. Look at these girls.
She's
girls.
Not the first woman ever to serve in the Senate, but she is the first woman elected. The
mm-hmm.
first woman was appointed. She's the first ever to be elected, which is,
right.
which is big.
That's
right?
huge. Absolutely.
Today in history, also, Amelia Earhart became the first person to fly nonstop from Hawaii to California. when she landed in Oakland.
Very nice.
That's awesome, yeah.
Amelia Earhart is totally kick-ass.
Right.
Very cool bitch.
So this third part of the podcast, along with Today in History, we're also going to be talking about terms that we think need to be defined, other terms that maybe need to be reappropriated a little bit.
Absolutely.
Quotes, great quotes from women. I have one from Cecilia Payne that I want to share for today. The Bechdel test. So we'll be talking about things
so
like movies, films.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. Movies, TV shows, songs, whether or not they pass the Bechdel test. And we'll talk about, we'll actually go into Bechdel test, and that'll be one of our terms to define
Absolutely.
In a later podcast.
Yes.
We'll be talking about statistics for women, statistics, numbers about women today and women in history. We're going to do our best to find some guest appearances.
Well, that will be fun.
Absolutely. So today we have a term to define, and that term is...
No.
No. Allison, would you like to talk about no?
I think most people, generally, if they think about defining the term no, obviously they think about consent, and then, of course, rape statistics, and no means no, and it's a full sentence. It doesn't require any explanation. But I also think that, you know, when I came here today, I was talking about just how much I hate saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are so many women who we feel guilty when we say no, and we feel like we can't say no.
Mm-hmm.
To something. And so we need to reappropriate no as not letting people down, not being a bad thing, but just a full sentence. It doesn't require an explanation. It doesn't require an apology. Just no means no, whether that's consenting to something or just saying, no, I'm too busy.
Exactly.
Or I'm unavailable. Just no.
And no. And it's also important to remember that no means no, even after you've said yes. Right?
Yes, that is correct.
So we are going to talk about things that, you know, problems that we see or things that we think really need to be talked about. Like, no. Be empowered, y'all.
Totally.
P.S. We're from the South. So we're living in California, but we're from North Carolina. So you might hear y'all every once in a while. So quotes. I think this is a good thing to end on right before we do our final little goodbyes. I found a quote from Cecilia Payne. And it goes like this. Do not undertake a scientific career in quest of fame or money. There are easier and better ways to reach them. Undertake it only if nothing else will satisfy you, for nothing else is probably what you will receive. Your reward will be the widening of the horizon as you climb. And if you achieve that reward, you will ask no other.
I love that.
What I love about that quote, more than just... like a woman saying to people, like, go do science. You could take the word scientific career out and put in entertainment career, and then the quote works.
Oh, totally.
Just as well. Do not undertake an entertainment career in quest of fame or money.
I was determined then and always not to be a coward. And also, I also love, O woman, thy smile is more powerful than the conqueror's sword. Thy sway is mightier than the monarch's scepter.
Yes. Who said both of them?
Deborah Sampson.
Deborah Sampson said
yes,
both of them?
Yes, both Deborah Sampson.
God, I love her.
Yeah, she's great.
All right. So if you'd like to keep in touch with us.
Please do.
Please do. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/UMPBOH. The Bitchery of History is a production of Ursula Major Productions. And so that is... Ursula Major Productions'
Bitchery
of
His
History, right? So it's UMPBOH.
There we go.
Right. And then we also have a Patreon page. And if you don't know what Patreon is, go to the website. Ours is patreon.com/UrsulaMajor. It's a really great website that allows you to support your favorite podcasts.
And other favorite creative endeavors.
Exactly. Right. So... films, YouTube, all that kind of fun stuff. Ours is patreon.com/UrsulaMajor.
So thanks for listening. And, you know, the next time that you're looking through your history books and seeing all these men and hero stories, just remember,
bitches get stuff done.